Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. It's 2 o'clock p.m. We're gathered for the legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. And our first item is Operation of All-Terrain Vehicles on the County Road. I have had a citizen emailing for the last few months and about hearing that the county can authorize operation of ATVs on county roads if we passed an ordinance. And so I was speaking with some of the Eastern Oregon guys, and Union County has passed an ordinance and they're happy with it and stuff like that. So they had emailed their ordinance as far as an example. But I figured it doesn't do any good for, I mean, it was kind of, so this is our first opportunity to talk about it. Sure, if you're welcome to join us, if you have any thoughts or desires. And this is citizen initiated. I don't have a background in this at all. The only commissioner I've heard ever talk about ATVs or motorcycles is that one over there, and that he created pathways in this county that nobody else has created before him. No, I'm just kidding. So that's kind of just where it started from, a citizen asking us to come up with something. I hear Douglas County has one as well, but I didn't ask them for their ordinance.
Grant and Lake are the only two other counties in the state.
Okay. You said just...
You said Union, which isn't on the AOC website, but Douglas, Grant, and Lake was.
Okay, and Union's who sent us the ordinance.
Yeah. So they must have just passed it and it's not posted yet or whatever.
Got it.
Recently, I guess.
Yeah. 2019, right here. July 17th.
And what do they want to do? They just want to say, okay, you can go license an ATV and drive it on the street?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
I live on Dick George Road, and I'm going to ride down to the neighbors.
The ordinance doesn't expand ATV operation within the county. And you've spoken with Union County.
I have. I spoke with their sheriff.
Yeah, and I think I can discern from the text of the ordinance the backstory here. Suffice to say, I mean, one aspect that Union County has within its considerations is they do have a justice court, apparently. And so, you know, in order to cite someone into justice court, of course, the violation of the county ordinance would be necessary. And so my reading of the ordinance is that it does say, yes, authorizing operation of ATVs on county roadways. And then to kind of delve a little bit further into it, it actually says in section 105A, ATVs may be operated on roadways, but then it says subject to the conditions and restrictions set forth under state law. And so essentially the ordinance, in addition to requiring compliance with state law, actually does close off a few Union County roadways pursuant to the county's...
But
it's not saying that it's county roadways. It says U.S. Highway 30, Oregon State Highway 82, Oregon State Highway 203, 237, 204, 244, located within Union County. But it doesn't say anything about county roads. 105.
It closes a few of them off.
At the end, it does.
Last page.
At the end. Well, I'm just reading 105 because that's what you...
No.
Oh, yes. Report. Yes.
They took some local roads off.
So, in fact, one could read it as being actually more restrictive than what state law allows for, which is minimal operation, to say the least. And does that pretty much comport with what the sheriff was describing to you?
Basically, okay. They're allowed to cross those. They're allowed to cross those highways that are listed there, but not travel along them. Mm-hmm. So they can cross them, though.
Which is in state law already. That's what the state law expressly allows for, both the county and state roadways. So that's it.
So we need an ordinance that says you can't drive ATVs on county roads.
I don't see any upside to passing an ordinance along those lines.
Citizen was asking for us to pass an ordinance allowing ATVs to be ridden on county roads. That was the request via the email. But theirs isn't doing that?
Doesn't do that.
Interesting.
Fascinatingly, it does actually, it's titled Authorizing the Operation of ATVs on County Roadways. And so that, and I get why they put that there, so that's understandable. But when you really get into the meat of the ordinance, ATVs are authorized just as they are without the ordinance. Under state law, and they're prohibited just as they are without the ordinance from doing most things under state law as well. So the ordinance doesn't change anything, except...
So it's a double negative, except...
Law enforcement in Union County may cite At least my expectation, and granted I have not spoken with Union County, but my understanding from just reading the text of the ordinance is that law enforcement is now empowered to cite violations of this ordinance into justice court.
Okay.
Yeah, as opposed to merely circuit. We don't have a justice court.
Right,
so,
but they are, I mean, when I was speaking to the sheriff there, it's expressly, he implied that it's authorized.
They're
going to allow it.
So
what even, and you're saying that that's not the case based on the literature.
I got more information that I think will help clarify. I had reached out to, when this first came up back in June, I'd emailed Chris Boyce. I got a hold of Douglas County first. And they said, state law says you can open county roads to ATVs by just posting signs, but then you have to pass a county ordinance that restricts further restrictions like operating hours, age, lighting, noise, that kind of stuff. So if they posted signs saying you're allowed, and then they have to, by ordinance, put the restrictions on when you're allowed. And that might be why Unions is putting the restrictions, because according to Chris, that's what we're required to do by ordinance. And I can try to find out more. But that's what Douglas County provided. And I can get their ordinance as well to see what they did up in Douglas County.
I'm really struggling. I had ATVs and motorcycles and probably done most of the stuff, but it boggles my mind that it's okay to drive an ATV on a county road in Douglas County, but no insurance, no nothing. No licenses, no insurance, no title, no nothing. You're just going to take off and go down the road. Well, what happens if when you turn in front of me and I clobber you and you don't have insurance and I do, and am I got to pay for you? I can't go anywhere. You stop me, and the first thing he says is driver's license. Nobody says this, the ATV rider had to be a driver's license.
Yeah.
Does have an age restriction, and never doesn't say it has to be licensed.
There's actually
no license, and I can't
ATV
give a registration, and I can't give, because a lot of ATVs aren't registered. They're titled, but they're not registered. And number three is I don't have insurance, because I can't get insurance on something that's not roadworthy.
I can tell you, and maybe that's probably an appropriate place to start the discussion, is do we really want that going on here in Josephine County? I can see a tremendous increase in calls for service for us. We're going to be dealing with the fatalities. I don't know if you've seen a 16 or 17-year-old on an ATV that's made for the dirt on an asphalt street.
Oh, they don't work well.
It's not going to work out very well. I was 16 once, and I know what I could do.
I know what I did
so,
on them.
So I think we got to maybe go back to the foundational level. Does Josephine County really want this right now? And what are we doing about the noise ordinance when you got a kid on a 20-year-old on a Banshee that's a two-stroke ripping down your road in front of your house going to, we're going to get complaints like crazy. We're going to get crashes. I needed to think about it a little more, and I wanted to do that.
So you got on your ATV,
right? So, and I'm not in favor of
let
this.
Let me offer you ORS Chapter 821.
Yes.
Already talks all about the limits on authority of local government, access on highways, issuance, title, registration, all that other kind of stuff is already outlined in state law. So it's... What's that?
Not to interrupt, but yes.
No, I just didn't hear what you said.
Preempted.
By state law.
So our authority also falls under 801.040, authority to adopt special provisions.
Yes.
And so there's certain things that we can do there. So like I said, citizen emailed asking that we allow ATV access on county roads. And cited a couple other counties that have done it. And so I reached out to those other counties to see what have you done. Just
you
at the commissioner level.
I read her lips. I read her lips and
I understand.
Read the back of your paper.
So I'd be happy to reach out to Douglas County and see what their ordinance is or to see more about this. I am bringing it to you guys because it was requested by a citizen that we do so. And as far as fully weighing it out, pros and cons, I haven't looked at any of that. It was just asked that we bring it forward.
And going back to something the sheriff said is, like, for instance, if you're on Waters Creek past Josephine County maintenance, you're back on the dirt. So could we, maybe if we're going to consider this that it's not allowed on maintained county roads, because those are pavement, those are to move, but if I'm up in the hills and I'm deer hunting up Waters Creek, I park my pickup down here and I want to ride my ATV up to the hunting area and it's all on non-maintained county roads, then I don't see a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But if I want to say, well, I'm going to ride it home to Wilderville, no, I'm not.
As long as we have no liability on the unmaintained road.
On the unmaintained side, I don't think we have any liability. It's just like a logging road.
I don't know, but it's something
that you could look into as legal. But I don't mind the unmaintained part because, you know, you're on dirt, and they will, as you decide to get a little bit out of wishy-washy, they'll slide on dirt and they won't on asphalt. You're on your beak if you end up on asphalt doing that. So if we could put the unmaintained portion in there, that I guess they couldn't come back and say, well, the shoulder was sloughed off and the pavement wasn't maintained with chuck holes or something that caused me to wreck because it's not maintained.
Go ahead.
Maybe we could find out if that's already legal, though, because it's not a county road. I don't know.
That's the thing. If it's unmaintained, that means unmaintained.
Yeah.
So.
Right, but it's still our road, and we have
true
the rights to it, so we have liability with it.
But like, for instance, on culverts and stuff, when a culvert washes out and it's not been accepted into the road grid as a maintained road, it's just the county has it. It's been deeded to the county, but we don't maintain it, so therefore we don't have to fix the culvert or anything else, or ditches or anything for that matter.
Yes.
So that's the element I would be interested in looking at, because like I say, if you're deer hunting up Olympic Creek or whatever, and you're on the dirt side of it and you're going to go on up and pick your grandson up because he's up on a log landing, I don't mind you doing that on an ATV.
Interestingly, there's a committee formation to evaluate all terrain vehicle highway access routes advisory committee, and it's conduct field reviews of proposed all terrain vehicle highway access routes and consult with the following commissioner, sheriff, road authority, members of the all terrain vehicle organization, land management, and some other stuff. So the state actually has a committee that is run by the state parks and rec director.
Another thing is on federal Forest Service roads, they allow ATVs and whatnot up on Forest Service roads, U.S. Forest Service and BLM roads.
Well, some say no motorized vehicles, though.
Correct, but they block that off. Okay. I get that, but I mean, you're going to and from those. As long as if you can't, they physically won't let you on that, but the rest of it you can drive on. So.
Well, the sheriff brings up a good point. We struggle with, we don't have 24-hour patrol.
Correct.
We don't have the ability to enforce the noise ordinance at 12 o'clock or 10 p.m. anyhow. You know, what about the other aspects necessarily of imposing rights or restrictions when there's not an enforcement capability?
I don't know whether we write something up that you can't run an ATV on, and it's not going to be licensed anyway, but you can't run an ATV on a maintained county road. Because maintained means it's paved.
Yeah, I don't know what the upside of that would be. I mean, you'd have a county violation on top of a state one.
Why? If you're on a county road, it's not a state road.
But state law already prohibits that.
On their highways, right?
My initial response to the citizen was that Oregon County does not make laws related to roads. They're all state laws regarding to and all that kind of stuff. And but there's this exception that there are some counties and cities that have made exceptions for ATV access on roads. So I've emailed Chris Boyce from Douglas just to see what theirs is. We can email it to y'all and see what you like. All I could say is that it was requested and I followed up with having a discussion.
Could we ask for more information then about where that road end is, what liability is?
Oh, with the unmaintained?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And then
I think the liability is going to fall on the operator in almost all those cases.
The liability is almost negligible in every case, unless we were doing something willfully negligent, like we were called five times about a stop sign down or a huge rock in the middle of a road, whether paved or not. We've got pretty good immunity, especially on a non-maintained, where it's presumed that we don't undertake any level of maintenance. So if a tree falls, we're under no requirement to go get that tree out of the way. That falls on the local property owners. From a road maintenance standpoint, this is kind of a non-starter for us. Maybe a handful of signs for leaded pavement or something like that. But I would say from Dave's perspective and an engineering standpoint, it's terrifying if you ask me in terms of vehicle weight differentials, closing speeds, all that kind of stuff. It just, that makes my eyes pop.
Yeah. And they can already cross state roads and county roads and any road. Yeah. They just can't go on and go along.
Yes. They allow that up on crossing 140 with snowmobiles. Yeah. That scares me.
It's like to go get your mail or put your trash out.
You got a guy and he can stop his snowmobile, but I can't stop my car and he's just going to go right out in front of me. That's, you know, you got more control of your feet than I do this car, but yet I have to watch out for you. But, as a former ATV rider, I don't want to ride on pavement at all. So I would say not to allow it.
Yeah, and that means
on main
to me to do nothing.
Yeah, but after you get up into the dirt, I'm okay with that.
You're
traveling. Follow a little pull up, even if an ordinance is even necessary. But we can definitely get you the answer.
Yeah, probably. You know, when we come back to that, when you give us what happens with the liability, we say it's a non-issue.
That may be where it heads, but we'll certainly follow that one down.
Okay.
Well, that's where I'm at. Yeah.
I would like more information. I'll see what Douglas County did, and I'll get that to you as soon as I hear.
Good idea.
Sheriff, I appreciate you coming and being a part of the discussion.
Sure.
Because we certainly want your perspective on what it'd be like for safety and enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, all we can do is if somebody asks us to face a topic to bring it up and see what that would be. Yeah.
And as you dig further, you might make note of like populations and densities of those other counties, because Union County is like 26,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty rare.
Difference in density.
Find a human.
Absolutely. But Douglas is the first one that came up, and that's who looking back through my notes, it was midnight, and Commissioner Boyce and I were emailing back and forth the details, and it was finally like, why are we still awake? You know, that kind of thing.
Good night.
I meant to follow up, then just forgot. And so that was back in June. And so then the citizen emailed again and followed up with Wally. So, okay. We'll get more information and get it back to you guys. In the meantime, we're going to stay as we are on it.
Yep. And Sheriff is staying for Section 4A as well, Friday 4A.
Oh, okay. Unfortunately, that's executive session, and we got a couple more before there, but we'll get there quick. Item number 2 is rental agreement for county rental property at 112 Northeast D Street for Community Corrections Property Camp tax exemption. We gave Nate permission to not stay. We said we could cover it, so we have a property at 1112 Northeast D Street that Community Corrections has been utilizing as a transition house. So we rent it for that purpose, and it's managed by Welcome Home Oregon as part of one of the transition houses Community Corrections contracts with them with Justice Reinvestment Dollars. And this is the annual request for them to claim a property tax exemption under ORS because the public body is using it for purposes. And this is an extension of the lease and the extension of that request for that tax exemption purpose.
So that's the tax exempt would be for the walkers?
Correct, the owners of the property.
Owners of the property.
Correct.
And
so
do they receive rent from us?
They do receive rent.
I'm gonna ask it real, does that make that a commercial endeavor?
It does. The allowance of them to have the tax exemption because it's a government body using the building is allowable.
Okay. All right. The other way around, if it were, I'm looking at a facility that rents from a government. The other way around. A facility that rents from a government, a private party that rents from a government turns that around. It then becomes it's not exempt because it's a government property, because now it's a commercial endeavor, so that changes it, puts it back on the tax rolls, where this is the other way around. This is the government renting from a private entity, and I get it. There's a difference.
North Valley Industrial Park?
Huh?
North Valley Industrial Park?
Well, yes and no. And there's numerous places around the valley that happens, and I thought, gee, they're getting money for this, and then they don't have to pay the taxes for it? But we are renting it for them for our purposes, so therefore that makes it a government.
It's a use,
purpose,
yeah.
Right?
It becomes a government use.
That makes sense.
Well, as long as it, it has to be below market, which is what the application states.
So we're getting it rent at a discount, below market rate. So this is a two-part request. It's the extension of the rental agreement to extend from October of this year through September next year, and to grant them the property tax exemption that they are requesting.
Doesn't grant that. It's an application. It's for the assessor. The assessor would be
okay.
The one to...
So we're just signing the application. Our title says property tax exempt in application.
Yeah, it's an application.
How far back does this go?
So this is...
I can't find that.
We've had it 3 or 4 years?
2015.
Yeah. Yeah, they remodeled and...
Yeah, so it's not brand new. It's just an extension.
Yeah, okay. They just do it annually.
So Nate is asking permission that he can sign the lease as well as the application as the tenant, or is it us?
It's you.
Okay.
We usually have the board chair sign after a motion.
Got it. I just saw a signature of leasee. Okay, so whatever you guys would endorse moving forward.
I'm
in favor of
me too.
The lease.
Yep. Is it possible?
Continuing as presented. Yeah.
So I would accept a motion to have chair sign both application and lease today.
So moved.
So seconded.
All right.
Motion is second. Any further comment?
No.
Okay.
And all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Nate came this morning by mistake.
He mentioned. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I sat through the entire meeting.
I know.
So we're like, so all right, you paid your dues for one meeting today. We won't make you sit through a second for the same topic.
He had another meeting at 2 p.m. anyway, so he didn't get a total skate.
Okay, good. Okay, item number 3 is two-part. First is for the weekly business session next week is a public hearing on draft orders number 2019-054 in the matter of designating county-owned real property as county forests, public parks, or recreational areas, and order number 2019-055 in the matter of the alienation, sale, conveyance, and exchange of county-owned real property designated as county forests, public parks, or recreation areas. And Helene has joined us as well.
And I think you've got all the paperwork. All we're asking is to move forward with this next, move this forward to next Wednesday's business session.
Yeah, I was just looking at the list. Yes, so we've actually gone over this list previously, I believe, because I'm recognizing addresses that we've talked about. So if there's no objection, we can move this to the WBS next week. And Commissioner Fowler, if you want us to wait, for your being there, because I know you're going to be at that event.
I will, but no.
Okay.
It's already a notice public hearing.
So okay.
And I can't wait.
So we're going to be there and not, well, we could start table it.
You could table the orders.
Yeah.
But the hearing would have to.
I'm good with going forward. I would have no objection if I was there.
Okay. So that is the gist.
Did we pull that one?
No, so there's one issue there. That's why you have a draft. One of the orders has some highlighted areas.
It does. Yeah.
And so it looks like the second paragraph in there, that's going to come out because we don't have what we need yet from the city of Cape Junction.
From the city of Cape Junction, okay.
So
did
we'll
they
have
any anticipation on when they're going to vote on that?
It's not scheduled yet.
They didn't get
We're
it Monday
still
night.
Engaged.
No, they nope. didn't.
So,
yeah.
We've had there,
we're still trying to explain what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay, so is there a pushback from City of Cape Junction?
It hasn't gone in front of the council yet.
Okay.
But needs to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I wouldn't characterize it as pushback, but they want more information about what exactly is occurring here. So we've engaged
with
them.
Well, and rightfully so. That's
We haven't really asked the City of Cape Junction for this type of thing for years, so it's
right.
You know,
so
it's
new to them, right? And they do need to sign off on it because I want their buy-in.
Yep,
it's
required.
Okay,
but we want to get this property back onto the private ownership rolls.
Okay.
So we're going to have a second hearing.
Well, no. Well,
yes. Because the property is being pulled,
it's not going to make it in time for even the auction.
So we'll have to do, and I think what you're saying is we'll have to do another hearing at another time when we're ready to put the property on to the
right.
So that one's just not going to go on auction this time?
Correct.
And that's
did they have it in time to get it done?
That's at River Street.
River Street 307.
I would say so. But it's not really, I'm not really thinking in terms of ascribing
Okay.
Do we do those sales more than once a year?
We can.
Have we?
As the properties come available.
But this year we were just doing one.
Right.
Yeah, but in the past
I don't want this to sit a whole other year, though.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I was thinking maybe spring would be. We can always do.
But that is the issue, is we did not do a spring one this year, so this was our only one this year.
Oh.
So.
Well.
We can do a spring one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to
be. If it makes it through, yeah, I'd rather not sit.
Sitting there too long. We don't have to clean it up again.
We were just talking about that earlier.
We already cleaned it up once.
Yeah.
So question, there's a second highlighted yellow portion in here regarding the City of Grants passes. Have they dealt with theirs?
Passes?
Yes. We got that back, and so that'll all be filled in.
Okay. So no further objection to moving that forward, correct?
Nope.
Okay, so with that, we are going to move into executive session on the following agenda items. Item 4A is an estate of Tomas Pena versus Dave Daniel et al., case number 94843404 in the Circuit Court, Miami-Dade County, Florida, under ORS 192-6602H. We have item 4B, C&D Land and Trust versus Josephine County Assessor, case number 190178R, Oregon Tax Court, under ORS 192-6602H. And item 4C, report and recommendation regarding county real property at 400 Sunny Valley Loop, leased with Sunny Valley Applegate Trail Society, Inc., under ORS 192-6602E and F. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we'll return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:27 p.m. We are back in general session at 3:12 p.m. Looking at the agenda items, we received updates, notification on the 4A item, which is a state of Thomas T. Pena versus Dave Daniel et al., case number 94843404. Circuit Court, Miami-Dade County, Florida, ORS 192-6602H. Just got an update. We also got an update on the C&D Land and Trust versus Josephine County Assessor, case number 190178R, in Oregon Tax Court under ORS 192-6602H. And we gave staff instruction on how to proceed with the next steps with the report and recommendation regarding the county real property at 400 Sunny Valley Loop.
I think you can adopt that if you want.
Do we need a motion?
It's the cleanest path forward.
Okay.
I would say.
So I would entertain a motion to proceed with sending property to auction in next available auction, February 2020.
Go. Yeah, I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Well, I'll second that. Yeah.
It's too late. I already did.
She's
okay. I'll third it.
Is there any further discussion?
No.
Okay. So seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. So with that, any additional subject matters from commissioners?
No, ma'am.
I will have one. I've been contacted by Youth Pathways Project asking that I would take on an intern. They would like me to meet at 7:30 Friday morning with this said student.
Wow.
How long is that program? Would that?
It would go this term through Christmas.
Yep, one semester.
Wow. One day a week.
Does that person get to travel with you when you're not here?
I brought that up and no. I said, you know, I'm heading to Salem tonight and testifying for the Energy and Environment Committee at 8 a.m. And then I got the Forest Trust Lands Committee on Thursday. That'd be an interesting one for the student to see.
Saddle up.
But I'm not traveling with a student.
No.
I don't know the student. The student's also male. That would not be, not happening.
Double jeopardy.
I'll give a report when I get back. So 7:30 on Friday, this student will be dropped off and introduced.
Wow.
And then I'm actually volunteering to sell ducks for the Duck Derby. Proceeds of the sale, if you haven't got your own yet, go towards our arena at the fairgrounds, so you should buy some ducks.
I'm allergic to feathers.
Uh-huh. Anyhow, so the student's going to just be a part-time on Friday, unless you guys have objection to one coming into our office. And speaking with Gene Merrill, JJ has been consulted, got over the process, and the only thing we're going to do in addition for any students coming to county is having them sign a confidentiality form. So that would be required before they come over.
Somebody will explain to them what that means.
I've also been told, Commissioner Fowler, there's a student ready for you. So heads up. Mine's from
Hopefully
IV, yours is from Grants Pass.
Electrical contracting.
Yeah.
I haven't chased Matt.
So I thought I'd give you a heads up that there may
Thank
be a student joining us Friday, since we said we were going to support internships and practicums. So we're at the front of the line.
Cool.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order?
No, ma'am.
Okay, I would love to. NACO just sent out a thing saying the administration releases a final rule to repeal the 2015 Waters of the U.S. rule. I'd love to hear your update on that sometime, Counselor.
The thumbnail is that what has essentially occurred, in 2015, was through the EPA, the then administration put on, and I'm way broad brushing here, but so just take it on that level, right? But basically put on an additional layer of planning requirements and development requirements, whereas we, of course, at the county or city level have requirements to get permits, and of course there are state-imposed requirements on top of that. The federal government had essentially imposed development permit expectations that applied to anyone, and I'm, again, overly broad-brushing, maybe not overly, but broad-brushing here, but essentially anyone who wanted to develop property upon which water could either pool or pass through. And so that was sued by the majority, literally, of states in the U.S. I think it was over 26 states at one point, did challenge the rule. It was never put into effect. And so now the administration has gone ahead and repealed that rule.
Okay.
So that's the thumb. Did that make sense, what I'm describing there? It was called Waters of the U.S.
They get really sticky on water until all of a sudden it's a farmer, and then the farmer can add anything they want to the water, and it goes right on through. Water quality coming off of agricultural land is going to be a big issue coming forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
Mm. It already is, but it's going to get bigger because of the fact that we have 62,000 acres of hemp now, where we only had 17,000 last year.
Okay.
So it's going to be big. It's going to be really big.
We're having a meeting tomorrow with Wally, Cy Jameson, Sarah, and I on the update on the land exchange stuff.
Okay.
And then based on that meeting, Wally, I might ask if you can send stuff to them to give them an update.
Yes.
So they haven't seen the updated list.
Yep.
So, all right.
This list? I don't know if that's updated, but
never mind.
Put that on my desk.
I gave them, staff made them copies this morning.
Well, I've got
that's
one.
That's mine so
that
far.
Is,
it is. Okay.
Get
never
your
mind.
Copy.
They got their copies. I've emailed you.
It's on my
well.
Chair.
I got it.
Okay, so anything else? We are adjourned at 3:19 p.m.